Okay, two quick announcements, one more time before we begin. After Sikha, there is PTP, over Pesach. We've gotten knocked out of the whole system, what's going on when, so there is PTP after this. And number two, a reminder, if you have an interest in buying any kind of baked goods to help support the lady in the bakery, it's under Yesh, between the barber and the fish store. You go down the driveway, stay straight and to the right, and Mafiat Eden, it's a mitzvah to buy cookies and cake. It's a good mitzvah. Okay, there's a minute between Pesach and Shavuos to recite Pirkei Avos and to learn Pirkei Avos. And in shuls around the world, they have shiurim, the perek shiur. There's some shuls, many shuls, that continue those shiurim after Shavuot and throughout the summer. And this week, I believe, is the third week since Pesach, and therefore we're up to perek shlishi and Pirkei Avos. I have two sichot on Parshiyos Tazria Metzora. I don't know, wasn't feeling it. Not on Sunday, not on Monday, came Thursday, still had some other ideas, wasn't feeling it. And some guys schmoozed with me about various topics over the week. And this piece came to mind that I think it's might be able to hit home. Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi Omer, if you want to follow along, it's a one-liner. Pirkei Avos, Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Hay. Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi says, Haneir balayla, if you stay up at night, v'amahalech baderech yechidi, and you walk the path alone, v'amafana libo levatola, and you turn your heart to waste, hareza mischayev benafsho, yechayev misa. Your life should be taken. Let's review that line again. The list of three items. Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi says, if you stay up at night, presumably they used to go to sleep when the sun would set, stars would come out, there's no more light other than by candle. So thanks to Thomas Edison, we're all Chayav Misa. We stay up at night. You stay up at night. Who's ever thought of such an idea? Where does such an idea come from? Is that crazy? You stay. The Gedolei Adar stayed up at night. David HaMelech never slept. He would doze at the beginning, and then he'd wake up at Chatzos, and he'd learn the rest of the night and compose Tehillim. Oh, it's sad. And there, if you stay up at night, you're Chayiv Nisa. Where does this come from? Hamahalech Baderech Yechidi, you walk the path alone. Walk the path alone, Yechayev Misa. I've heard of the idea of don't go to a Beis HaKfaros, the cemetery, at night by yourself. If you're a Talmid Chacham, don't walk at night by yourself because Shadim are there, whatever that is. I've heard of various concepts that are in the Gemara, but a regular person, don't walk at night because then Yechayev Misa? Your life should... Why? I walk to a lot of places myself. I go shopping all by myself. I don't need an applause. But if it's at night, I'm Chayiv Misa. Number three, V'hamafana libo levatola. You turn your heart to bittul, to waste. A lot of the commentaries, Rashi, and I believe the Rambam on Pirkei Avos says this refers to bittul Torah. And bittul Torah, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to offer a new suggestion as to what it means. I do not, though, want to diminish from the importance of understanding what Bittul Torah is about. Just to understand a little insight, a little glimpse. We have a Gemara in Brachos that says that in the event that you have difficulty in life, you should look through your ways. Search your ways. And if you've searched and found that you're actually all clean, God, my mitzvos are impeccable. I do a great job as a Jew. So then you should be tola bebittel Torah. You should hinge it, tend it on the fact that you waste time from Torah. That's like one of those cheap shots. Like everybody's got that. Waste time. I guess he's got us. So Rav Kook has a very, very beautiful interpretation. And he says that when you go to work, that's not bittel Torah. You're supposed to go to work. When you're spending family time, that you have to be spending, that you're supposed to be spending, that's not bittel Torah. But bittel Torah is relevant when you have free time. And it's between television and Torah. And between just sitting, hanging out, and Torah. It is relevant. So he says, such a beautiful idea. You see, you searched your ways and you came out all clean. How did you search your ways, come out all clean, if you have bittel Torah on your hands? So the answer is, if I come over to you and I say, you know, you have a really poor practice of tefillin. Just the way you put on your tefillin is just really unpolished. So you're like, who in the world are you? What are you talking about? My tefillin? You know, listen, you really got into get into Shabbos a little more. You really don't get Shabbos. Who in the world are you to tell me about my Shabbos observance? I'm good. So you know what? We're going to stay away from that. I have a litmus test. Instead of pinpointing this mitzvah, that mitzvah, because you came out all clean and perfect, I have a litmus test to show you that there is something lacking. There's always room to develop more. What is that? I don't remember if I've given this analogy in the past. You know, you're sitting in yeshiva for a few months, and then all of a sudden you get that letter from her. And you're like, great. So you smell it. Maybe it's got some perfume. And then you don't rip it open with the mail opener, and you rip all the words like you do with the bills here. What you do is you open it gently, you wax it, you steam it open, make sure you don't rip anything, and you don't read it, you know, in public, you read it in private, and you reread it a few times. Every time you start thinking about her, every time you have free time, you're looking for codes and gematrias, and yeah, you read it as much as because it's a love letter. The Torah is a love letter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And every time I can, that I have a moment, I take it out. Oh, this is another thing about Hashem. I just want to know as much as I can about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't have that love, that passion for Hashem, so it just displays that you must be missing something about your mitzvahs. I can't tell you you're missing something about your mitzvahs, but I am sure that you are. If you don't love Hashem fully, well then it's going to be missing somewhere in the mitzvahs. That's what bittel Torah is about. The Gra cried very, very bitterly one Yom Kippur because of 6 minutes that he had wasted that year. Halavai, we shouldn't waste 6 minutes in every single hour. It's a remarkable concept. 6 minutes that year. Wasted time is important. We all know the idea that there is a world, a life after this, to consider. We all heard a story about a guy who busied his time fighting with his life and others, all his friends, for the sake of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So we should probably consider that when ripping out Snake and any other arcade game and just wasted time. Oh yeah, there's a purpose in life. There's a purpose to the world, to my existence. I gotta fill my time. Breaks are breaks. You need a break, so you take a break. Okay, so how much time do you need? I need about 5 days. You need a break? You said take it, put your head down for 5 minutes. 20 minutes. Yeah, take a break, 20 minutes. Let's try to be focused on what life is about. However, I don't think that's chat of Hamafana Libo Levatala. That's about Bittul Torah. Hamafana Libo Levatala means you turn your heart to Bittul. It's a fancy language. It should have said if it meant Bittul Torah, which otherwise is known as Bittul Zman, waste of time. It should say Hamivatel Zmano, you waste your time. What's Mefana Libo? I turn my heart to Bittul, to being negligible. What does that mean? We're going to start with the Mahalik Baderech Yechidi, and I'll try to work my way to the other two. We have two jobs at hand. One is to explain each of these three items, and after that try to explain what they have to do with each other, because Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi did not just randomly pick three ideas. He thought that these three had a common denominator for which you're chai of Misa. Haneir Balayla. Mahalech Baderech Yechidi. There's a story in the Gemara, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, basically the conclusion of the first Agadata in Shas. And what does this first Agadata in Shas tell us? Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Pamachas nechnasti l'churva achas mirushalayim. There was a time that I entered one of the destructed areas of Jerusalem. This fellow, I entered to daven. Eliyo zocher latov shamar li al apeta. Eliyo anavi came and watched me in the doorway. He stood in the doorway, didn't move. He stood in the doorway, waited for me. Kishesianti lispel, when I finished davening, Amar li, Eliyo anavi said to me, Shalom alecha Rebbe. You know you're doing well when Eliyo anavi calls you Rebbe. So, Marty Lo, I said back to him, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Mori. He added one. And Omar Lee said to me, Yossi, Bimnei Manach Nafta L'Churva. So, why did you enter this destructed area? Marty Lo, L'Espala, to Davin. He said, Hayya L'Cha L'Espala Baderach. You should have davened on the path, not in this destructed area. Amarti lo, so I said to him, Misyare Ayisi, I was scared, Shema Yafsiku bi Ovrei Derechim, the passers-by would interrupt me, would disturb. I was scared. So, Eliyahu disagreed with Rabbi Yossi, and he learned three lessons, because Rabbi Yossi says, Eliyahu then tells him, well, you should have then davened short, a short tefillah. There's a way to do an abbreviated version in such a case. And you should have done the abbreviated version of Shemona Esrei instead of going to the churva. That's the worst thing you could have done. How bad is it? After they finish then the halacha lessons, they go back to the story. And Eliyahu Hanavi says, no, mashamata, what did you hear? Rabbi Yossi, you're such a giant. You're such a great mispalel. Certainly you heard something, some response in heaven when you were davening. And Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, I heard something. I heard a Yonah, Minahemis. I heard a Baskol, a heavenly voice, a Minahemis ki Yonah that was mourning like a dove, sighing like a dove over the children, Am Yisrael, that have been thrown into Galus. And Eliyahu HaNavi says to Rabbi Yossi, Chayecha v'chaye roshecha, Rabbi Yossi. Your life should be taken. Lo zubil vado mereskach. It's not only then, that one time when the Baskol says it, El shalosh pamim yom, but three times a day. V'kol pam she'am Yisrael nechnasin l'batei kinesios l'batei medrashos, and every single time Am Yisrael enters shul and batei medrash, v'omrin yehei shmei rabba mevarach l'olam alom ha'olmayim, they say that phrase yehei shmei rabba HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo menanei arosho, Hashem himself shakes his head in sadness. Woe upon the children, upon the father whose children do not eat at their table. And fortunate is he whose children do eat at his table. Hashem himself mourns over the loss of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What is going on in this Gemara? Rabbi Yossi davens because he's scared of the passers-by. He's walking on the path. So he enters a churbar, and Eliyahu Navi comes. He waits for him in the doorway, not inside, not outside. And he says, you shouldn't have entered into the destructed area. Why not? Who knows? So Rabbi Yossi and Eliyahu continue the conversation. What'd you hear? I heard a heavenly voice. That's terrible. Your life should be taken, because Hashem says even greater things, and the dove does that all the time. Rav Meir Goldberg Shlita, one of the Rebbeim in YU, he's a big mechadesh. He said the following idea, an absolutely remarkable concept. There are people that are mahalech baderech, and then there are the people that are ovrei derech. The mahalech baderech, how the Gemara opens, Rabbi Yossi says, there was one time I was Mahalech Baderech. The people that live in their Judaism, and then there are people that visit us. Rabbi Yossi lived on the Derech. He was walking on the Derech, on the path. And you come back from Eretz Yisrael, and you are terrified that they are going to make fun of you. But all the Ovrei Derech, all the people that are the passers-by, all the people that make fun of those that actually concentrate in davening, oh, you're one of those? All those people that make fun of those people that actually care about halacha, but you care about the nitty-gritty? All the ovrei derech. So, I get back to America, and I decide I'm going to daven for the Amud. Why? Because the Gabbai says, this was not in my hometown, Baruch Hashem, in some other town, the Gabbai says, why don't you daven for the Amud? A Kadosh guy, and I said, no thank you. Said, why? You know, you young guys, you come back from Israel, you don't want to share in the Kedusha with the rest of the Kiva. So I said, well, you see, I daven for a long time, and the Kehillah doesn't. I don't think they'll tolerate it. So he said, oh, no, we're okay with it. And that was the first and last time I was going to fall for that trick. Because I got up there, and he said, he loves it, okay, fine. So I was davening Shmona Esrei, when the rabbi of the shul publicly said, I think someone switched his sitter with the Rosh Hashanah Machzor. Thank you. Rabbi. And certainly, that hurt. Didn't help my kavana for that Shmona Esrei or any others. And we've got a lot of problems. So Rabbi Yossi decided, I'm not going to stay in Shul. I'm going to go off to some churva to be by my lonesome self. I'll be in seclusion, and I'll daven there. Moshe Rabbeinu was attacked by a man named Korach with the following complaint. Moshe Rabbeinu, tzitzis that are kulo tcheles, the whole garment will be tcheles. Do these things need to be tcheles? The strings on the outside, that needs to be tcheles? You have a room filled with sfarim. Your house, you'll fill your house wall to wall with sfarim. You need a mezuzah in the doorway? A little piece of Torah? The room is filled with Torah! And Moshe said yes in the affirmative to both, and the Korach decided he'd laugh at Moshe Rabbeinu and get everybody else to mock along with him. Let me explain what Rabbi Yossi was up against and what Korach didn't understand as well. Every single person has natural talent. Every single person here has natural talent and something to give Am Yisrael. A person could be selfish and keep it for himself. And that is the idea.
The house is filled with svarim. But the mezuzah which is on the doorway, specifically in the doorway, as the synthesis between the inside and the outside, you take that natural seclusion of learning and bring it outside. Take it out with you.
That is the idea of the tcheles. It's on your doorways, right here. The beged, which does not have to be out, that could be all tcheles. That's for you, an internal message. But when it comes to the synthesis to the outside world, that better have tcheles. The house could be filled with svarim, but the doorway better have it.
Rabbi Yossi, you're davening by yourself.
Moshe, Avram, start with Avram Avinu. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, me, and Rav Boaz. Nine of the greatest Jews to ever live. So we don't have Barcho, Berchos Kohanim, Kriyas HaTorah, Kedusha, or Kaddish. 10 Shana Aleph guys roll off the plane in Ben Gurion with their rollerblades before the year begins. In September with the blazing heat. And they roll in before the first schmooze about the dress code. And they got their shorts on. We're here for tefillah. We're ready to go. 10 of them. Baruch Hu, Baruch Kana, Sis Kvain, Kedusha, Kaddish. 10 is a representation of all of Am Yisrael. You want to go by yourself? Chayecha v'chaye yoshecha, Rabbi Yossi. Your life's at stake. You're Korach. You take all your talents, all your capabilities, you keep them internally, inside, you're nothing. That's not what the world is for. You have to have a mezuzah. Now, I don't have so much time to go on a limb on this one. However, some people forget the Torah on the inside, and they're into the outside message, and they only do the outside. There's got to be an inside. Shush. There's got to be an inside that you fill yourself up. If you have a cup, and you're half full. This is Rabbi Willig's analogy, a beautiful analogy. You could influence others in one of two ways. You take your half cup and you pour it out, or you overfill your cup and make sure you're overflowing. Those are the two ways. Please make sure to have an inside, and make sure to take your inside out. Tzitzis being worn outside, it helps tremendously. Try it at home, please. I used to have the feeling that I'll only wear my tzitzis out in Eretz Yisrael and not in America. In Chutzlaritz, you're mixed with non-Jews. You've got spaghetti hanging out of your pants. You look like a moron. And like, what is that? And it just doesn't fit. So I used to think you should not wear them out in America. And Eretz Yisrael, you're home. You know, like, so they don't, there are people here that don't like religion. There are people here that don't know what tzitzis are. But by and large, you're home. Feel at home. Turns out that I found Talmidim that have continued to wear them out. It helps. This is your Jewish garb. The Gemara says, not in one place, that this, when that Rav decided that he's going to jump in bed with somebody he should not have been in bed with, and he saw the tzitzis dangling, he remembered, I got to get out of here. And I'm not promoting, obviously, to jump in bed and then remember. You're too late. I am promoting, keep them on. Keep them on. There's another bed story with one of the Gedolim, Ishboshet, And he had a certain predicament where he was by forcefully put in bed with a woman. He took his sword. He was a warrior. He took his sword and he stuck it in between the two of them. What's the point? You're strong enough, I'm sure, to pull that sword right back out if you desire. And if you don't really care about touching her, you don't need the sword. Yeah, but just in case, that extra reminder can really, really help. Set yourself up with some fences. Yichud. If you put yourself in a yichud position, yichud is when you're in seclusion, a certain amount of seclusion with a girl, with a locked door, or in a certain part of the park that there aren't too many passers-by, the passers-by would specifically not disturb you, you're in the wrong place. You're putting yourself in a predicament which is easy to fail. You probably will fail. If you go to a secular university and lock the door with a girl, you're putting yourself in the wrong place. Of course, if it's in public, and it's accepted in public as well. Public and private, it's all the same. It doesn't matter today. There's a guy that got thrown out of a smicha program for doing that in public. Someone was taking pictures in New York, just of people in the park having a great time. Well, this Nebuch smicha guy got caught with his picture taken in the papers of just, you know, a picture in the papers of what nice people do in the park, in Central Park. Well, he got thrown out. Baruch Hashem. You have to understand, that is a huge chilul Hashem, and not just because he was in smicha. You gotta understand, there are a lot of people here that I know that have trouble with the negiah thing. There are two groups of people, two classifications in the Gemara. They're prutzim and tsnuim. Prutzim means promiscuous people, and tsnuim means very private people, proper people. If you do certain things with a girl in public, that welcomes you into the club of the prutzim. Very, very much a chilul Hashem. Try to understand that if you want help in that area, it's not all that difficult to stay away in public. It's not all that difficult. You just have to care a little bit and say, that's absolute corruption. In private, I understand, that is where the taiva burns the most. So in private, make sure you're not in private in a locked area or in a secluded area. Make sure the best offense and defense is not be there, as the famous Mr. Miyagi once said. Hamalech b'derech yichidi, every single person here has talent, and you can give, not only hold down your fort, but you can actually give. I was talking to Sam. Where is Sam? During Seder about various things that we're going through these days, the speakers and ideas and inspirations. There are so many people that we're thinking about and listening to about Mesiras Nefesh, literally giving their lives, people that took their talents and their capabilities and went ahead and gave it to Am Yisrael. I think it does make sense that everybody try to find something, figure out something, somehow, that they can give to Am Yisrael. What is it going to be that you could give to Am Yisrael? It could be minyan. It could be learning. It could be mitzvos. It's got to be something, though. You got to have something that you give to Am Yisrael. And everyone is capable of giving something. And that's the Mahalech B'Derech Yechidi. And a Jew that says, I want to be a soul runner. Mishai ben Asha. You weren't created to be a soul secluded hermit. Haner Balaila. We're now up to our second one. The second and third go much shorter. Haner Balaila, the guy that's awake at night. What image do you have of the man conceptually that is up at night? The man that is up at night is simply the guy that is bouncing around doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. It is not talking to adolescent teenagers alone and who just cannot pull themselves away from the television at 2 in the morning, and there really is no reason to be watching anymore because all that's on is infomercials. But you're just having trouble to turn that on. It's like, if for one more minute, I just need one more moment of television, and all of a sudden, Shari Shemayim and Mashiach are going to open up. It's like, nothing is going to happen. You're just going to get more tired the next day. Just go. The average adult ends that lifestyle. The average adult is married. You got things to do. You got kids. You got homework. Most adults are not just wasting their minutes and moments. It's too much. So who is this talking to? Laila throughout Shas refers to darkness, the darkest of all dark moments in Jewish history, and that is the essence of being in Galus and exile. Haner Balaila is the guy that's awake when he shouldn't be. Everything is great. Galus? No Galus. Who's got Galus? I'm awake! Life's good! There's light, clarity, I've got my life, I'm building my home. Life's great! That's Haner Balaila. Let me tell you a story about the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi was asked to come to be the Brisker Rav, the Rav of the town of Brisk. And he was already elderly, he had retired, and he sent a message back to the people of Brisk, I'm really sorry, but I've retired. I am not now going to start in the rabbinate. The town of Brisk sent a letter back to the Brisker Rav. I'm sorry, to the Beis Halevi. But Beis Halevi, there are 10,000 Yidden waiting for you. There are 10,000 Jews waiting for you in the town of Brisk. The Beis Halevi said, there are 10,000 Yidden waiting for me. How could it be that I won't go? And he went and became the first Brisker Rav. He died shortly thereafter. And his son, grandson, the Griz, took over his position. The Brisker Rav was Hagon Reb Yitzchak Zev Salapechik. The Chafetz Chaim remarked on this story, I just don't get it. Is Mashiach less of a mensch than the Beis Halevi? If there were 10,000 Yidden waiting for the Beis Halevi, and he had to go to Brisk because of that, there aren't 10,000 Yidden waiting for Mashiach. How could he not be here? And then, after I heard that question, I also was listening to a shiur about stucca. And all of a sudden it hit me that I have a real, real problem. I have a kasha on God. I have a kasha. There's a halacha in stucca that you have to give a poor person what he needs. And a person that was once wealthy gets more than the guy that's always been poor. Why? Because the guy that was once wealthy and now he lost everything, he is so embarrassed to face the public. He's so embarrassed. He'll be ready to jump from a bridge, take his life. He can't deal with the fact that he's going to sell his house, he'll live in a hole in the wall, he can't imagine that life. You have to help him out on a higher level. The one halakha that actually comes from the Torah in Hilchot Tzedakah. I didn't understand when I learned that. Ribono Shel Olam, keep your own halakha. It's your halakha you gave us in the Torah. It's the only halakha in Hilchot Tzedakah. Let's see you keep your own halakha. We are those once wealthy people. We had a first Beis HaMikdash, a second Beis HaMikdash. We had it all, and you took it away. We're the impoverished that once was wealthy. You owe it to us. You have to give us what we really need, and don't just give us a little bit on the side to help us get through. You want to give us what we really need? We need a third Beit HaMikdash. Give it to us already. You want to see how half, 90% of Am Yisrael is intermarrying, and 90% of Am Yisrael doesn't care anymore? You want to know what we need? We need your reality, your clarity in the world. Bring the third Beit HaMikdash. And then I realized the answer to both questions. The Chafetz Chaim's plea, Tamia, his perplexion. How could it be that Mashiach is less of a mensch than the Beis HaLevi? And the answer to my attack, my accusation. How could it be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not keeping this halach? And the answer, I believe, is that we don't necessarily want Mashiach. And maybe there aren't 10,000 yidden waiting for Mashiach. That was the Chafetz Chaim's devastating conclusion. And I didn't understand it for years, but then I realized, what's the difference between the once was wealthy man versus the man that was always poor? The once was wealthy, he walks through life, he's embarrassed. He can't take it. He's ready to rip his soul, rip his self. He's finished. We had a Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, pass the ketchup. If we are the once was wealthy man because we once had a Beis HaMikdash, then how are you? I'm waiting for the Beis HaMikdash. My heart yearns for the Beis HaMikdash. That's how I am. I asked Rav Benny once in the supermarket, Rav Benny, Mashlomcha. Rav Benny Eisner, I don't know if you know him, he's a top Talmud of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook. He was a Rebbe in BMT, and we got him for a few years here. He was here last year. And he apparently went on sabbatical this year. He was up north, south, I don't know what happened to him. And Mirat Hashem, we're all going to go to Rav Benny on Yom Yerushalayim. Fantastic stories. He was a commander in the army. They liberated many places. And I asked Rav Benny, Mashlomcha? And he looked at me with these eyes as if I was a crazed individual. Anim tzapele gula. I'm waiting for Geula. What kind of stupid question would that be? How am I? What do you mean, how am I? I'm doing terrible. I'm waiting for Geula. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to go through life moping and depressed. But you can't be Neor Belila. You can't be awake at night. You can't be missing the point of your existence. You exist in a time when Mashiach is not yet here. There has to be something missing. I realized, you know, Beit Shemesh, we're developing. We've got Ma'afeh Ne'eman. That's a great bakery. We've got a real ice cream store. I don't know if you guys have been there. That's fantastic. In the Ezor Tasiyah, great place. There's one Hashamein, the fat one. I don't know how a place like that gets off the ground. And there are two other eateries. We've got our own Halot Teiman. We are now on the map. That's right, it was all me. Thank you. And as Pesach was coming around, we were getting all sorts of things. We got light fixtures, we got this. Personally, we got things. And life is good. Life is real good. Mashiach? Well, who needs him? Life's very good. Stop. Like, don't. That's where Haneir Balaila. You could easily fall into the trap of not having any need for anything else. You're awake at night, you're forgetting the whole point. We live in a point. There's something that we have to live towards. A person turns his heart to negligibility. What does that mean? There's something called bittul b'shishin. Everyone knows, you take a little milk and you pour it into the cholent by accident, and everyone wonders, why is the milk always falling into the cholent? And that's the case. And it's bittul b'shishin, 60 times that, don't worry about it. Less than 60, you do worry about it. Okay? Bittul b'shishin. Bittul means it's negligible. It's considered as if it's not there. It doesn't exist. Rabosai, there have been billions of people in the world, in world history, billions before you and billions yet to come. There are hundreds of millions, something like that, in this world, in this generation that you're living in now. You are a grain of sand, a nothing. You are bittul gamur, entirely negligible, absolute nothings. Unless, if your grain of sand is part of a pre-existent mountain, I'm part of this mountain. I'm part of a pre-existent system that's grand. I'm part of that grand thing. If you want to be flesh and blood, basar vadam, that's mefana libo, you turn your heart to bittul. There's another alternative out there, and that is adam. Don't be dam, just flesh and blood, but put the aleph of anochi Hashem Elokecha in your life. Put the Ribono Shel Olam in your life. Take HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, he's there. I connect to Hashem. I relate to Hashem. I thank Hashem. And that's an Adam. And when you're an Adam, now you have existence. I do something. Everything I do, I'm building that mountain to be even greater and even bigger. Don't turn the heart to bittul, to negligibility, to being a nothing. A lot of us have a feeling, no, I could do this one on my own. The Ribono Shel Olam is very flexible. He's there to help. You tell the Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't worry, I could take this one on my own. Gesundheit, go right ahead. You don't need me, be on your own. Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi says these three things. Yechayiv Misa. Why? What's the connection, the comparison of these three? The comparison is, my understanding, these three are all very difficult. They're all the point, and they're all really, really difficult. Haneor Balayla, you stay up at night, that's your existence. In the generations, you're in a generation of galus. Hamahalech baderech yechidi, you walk the path alone. You keep your talents to yourself, and you don't give to Am Yisrael. That's your personal existence. And then hamafana libo levatala. I'm sorry. Mahalech baderech yechidi is your communal existence, and hamafana libo levatala is your personal existence. You personally have Hashem in your life. You communally give, and nationally, you recognize the generation in which you're created. You're still in Golos, and you still have to care. Three levels of concern, and these three are all anti-natural. It is much more natural to be selfishly oriented. It is much more natural to keep God out of your life as much as possible. If you want to know, why isn't it like picking up steam a little bit? Why isn't it that I hit a point where it's just easy to flow and go with it? Like, I just love Hashem and Hashem is with me? Because that's not natural. Hashem created us with a challenge. Naturally, it's better and easier, feels better to leave Hashem out of it. And what's the goal? You have to pursue, perhaps with a little bit difficult. And it's uncomfortable to feel like there's something grander to live for. I shouldn't be comfortable as possible in the world. I shouldn't just try to strive for happiness. I should remain unhappy over the fact that there is galus, that we don't have Mashiach. Why? It's the three most difficult things. But this is the purpose of our existence. I'll end with 2 points. If a person wants to accomplish something tremendous in quantity in life, I can guarantee the way to do it is not by getting married, and certainly not by having children. Because marriage, Rabotai, takes a lot of time, and kids take a load of time. It's not a good idea if you have these ideas of becoming a Nobel Prize winner and world peace or whatever you want to account, the athletic gold medalist. whatever it is that you want to do, honestly, in quantity, it's just not worth it. But everybody understands that that's a really bad cheshbon, because the goal of life is not necessarily quantity, but rather quality. And you can't compare the quality that you could gain if you do have those things and a good marriage and good relationship with your kids. You can't compare. Oh, but that's more difficult? Okay, that's true. This is more difficult. It's a more difficult approach. And it's true that most of the world is not telling you this message. You'll go and leave yeshiva, you won't get musar anymore, you won't get chizuk anymore, you won't get messages of Torah saying, do the hard thing, don't get so comfortable, don't pursue riches of life out of happiness. You know what you should pursue? A life of feeling that something's missing. You should pursue a life of always reaching out of your normal self to always feel God's with you. That's the way to go. You're not going to hear that message, but that's the point of your existence. And lastly, I want to end with a certain story that I heard by Rabbi David Gottlieb. If any of you are in his chug and he's told it over, Chazar is good. I thought it was an incredible story. Story about how in England they have poetry reading contests. So a little while back, they had a poetry reading contest, and they chose, actually, believe it or not the most lovers of Jews, but they chose, for poetic purposes, Jewish liturgy, Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, L'David Hashem Ro'i Lo Echzar. God, the Lord, is my shepherd. I shall not want. Ben Ostesha Yarbiteni. While walking in the pastures, he's there with me. So, the contest went on. Loads and loads of Englishmen come. The greatest of them. They come to do their rendition of how to read the Tehillim, the Psalm. And they have one guy, and another guy, and another guy, and they're good, and some of the best readers, eloquence, and poise, and it's great, they're doing fantastic. But then the last guy, a young, charismatic, a winning personality, his stage presence is amazing, gets up there and blows the whole contest away. It's brilliant. The place was in an uproar with applause. He clearly won, and it's just amazing. The judges go to the back room, just really basically for the formality that they have to do this. Everyone knows this guy, the young guy on the block, clearly won, took the contest. And while the judges are in their meeting, well, there's a rabbi in the audience, and the rabbi with the ripped jacket and the stains of the gefilte fish right over there, and, you know, disheveled, shirt's out, and he comes wobbling up and he says, ever so politely with the English accent, may I have a go? And, you know, it's really, come on. The English, they'll make fun of him, but they're also polite people. He did ask, and we do have dead time, being that the judges are judging now, so I guess it can't kill us, so okay, we'll let him up. And the rabbi gets up there and he starts saying the poetry of David. Hashem is the Lord. Hashem is my shepherd. I shall not want. And at the beginning, everyone is thinking, oh, get this rabbi down, this is crazy. And all of a sudden, people start to listen, and there's something transfixing about the way he's talking. And everyone starts to listen, entirely focused, and they're mesmerized. They're just watching the rabbi, word after word. And everyone's starting to feel moved. And at the end, every single person in the audience is crying. There's not a dry eye. The judges come back. The rabbi shuffles off the stage, starts walking away. In the meantime, the young fellow, super charisma, he was there. And he heard the rabbi. And the judges get up to the platform and they say, we'd like to announce the winner. And of course they award it to the guy that everybody knew, this young guy. And he says, no, I don't deserve it. The rabbi, he deserves it. And he goes running, tries to catch him up. And he says, rabbi, you deserve it. You take the award. And the rabbi says, no. You won, fair and square. I wasn't contesting during the time, and you won. I will not accept it. I don't need it. I want it. And he said, fine, I'll take the award, but tell me something, Rabbi. Explain to me one thing. When you read it, everybody cried. And when I read it, everybody clapped and applauded and cheered. What's the difference between you and me? The rabbi said, well, I'd like to say something really profound, but it's really pretty simple. You were reading a piece of poetry about the Lord, thy shepherd, that you've never met, don't know. And it's a nice piece of interesting poetry to you. And you did a great job. But for me, my shepherd, I know him. I live with him. And he's with me all the time. A lot of us would not know the shepherd if he passed us in the street. We wouldn't know the shepherd if he approached us with a major life incident. Hashem is my shepherd. Hashem is always there. What we have to do, if we don't have it fully down pat yet, that shepherd's got to be someone you know really, really well. Let's be like that rabbi. I live with him. I know him. I know him through and through. I love him. He's my shepherd. Mirtz Hashem. We'll all understand that we're ready to give. We're ready to take on the Ribbono Shel Olam, the shepherd in our lives. Bring him in. Open up. Give to the world. Recognize there's a goal. And with these ideas, these goals in mind, Bezrat Hashem, we will have Chayei HaChayim L'Olam L'Olam L'Olam.